Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
Hi, everybody. My name is Glorelis Mora. You can call me Glory. I'm a frequent guest, so you might see me a lot. My pronouns are she, her, legends. So thank you. You may have seen me on, I recently opened up for Yvonne Orji from Insecure. I have a production company. I do shows and I have a podcast called Rich Drives and Overdrives. And I've written a few things. So I hope that you enjoy my perspective and just understand that I'm a Pisces moon and a Gemini sun.
Well, Glory is here, which you know means there will be lots to giggle about. And we think we have discovered the perfect meme that describes our 2020 month-to-month journey through the many faces and reactions of Kerry Washington. Speaking of, will bringing up Kerry Washington again reignite Glory and I's feud? Yes, we are talking about American Son again. Ugh. We've probably talked about that movie more than Kerry Washington's probably talked about it. But Miss Carrie is doing it up. She's got her Emmy nod. She's got the Fight documentary, Chef's Kiss. And with theaters now closed, movies are having to be released on demand. But listen, with all of our streaming platforms and subscriptions, are folks willing to pay to watch a movie at home? Better question, is Glory willing to pay? So we think that the not really a movement, quote unquote, Blue Lives Matter thing was, I think they were trying to paint some sort of mural, but listen, we can't figure out what they were trying to say and they are completely missing the point. Looks like we need to unpack the meaning of Black Lives Matter again. Ooh, and we go back to some more feuds as we settle it once and for all. LeBron or Jordan? That's right, yes, we're talking about sports. Or more so the activism happening in sports. And do we look to celebrities to do possibly too much to be our societal saviors? Are they the right people for that? And someone not saving anyone, it's Ellen. Ooh, she in trouble. Y'all trying to cancel her. Ugh, well, probably end up talking about Agent Orange more than we want to, but hey, he is a part of the white supremacy plague and light is the best disinfectant. Except for coronavirus. You cannot cure coronavirus with light or demon sperm. And in the main event, it's another day and another historical race massacre, but this time it's about the town of Wilmington, Virginia, where the only successful coup d'etat that occurred here on American soil, and it did not bode well for black people living there, which will not surprise you because you've been listening to this podcast. And it's the final week, the final push, the final day, the final hours of the Maximum Fun Drive. Okay, so this is a really tough time for all of us. Am I right? We've all been asked to make sacrifices for the common good, and for some of us, the sacrifices are just extraordinary. And at its best, Maximum Fun Drive is a demonstration of what we can do when we come together, and that's worth celebrating right now. So we wanted to take this opportunity to come together as a community of tens of thousands of people who rely on each other to make some magical stuff happen in the world. And the world needs our magic right now. So joining in on all the magic here at Max Fun, it's super quick and it's super easy. All you got to do is you go to MaximumFun.org/join. You'll see the different levels and all the thank you gifts we have that we offer at each level. You'll get the bonus content at any level. Y'all will get the bonus content. And super stoked about, we have two bonus contents coming at you from Minority Corner this year. I didn't say from Cleopatra. We have the bonus episode where Aneke and I break down The Watchmen and Felicia Rashad and Debbie Allen's cult music video from the 80s. Ugh, we break it down, down, down. And also, just this past weekend, we had a Minority Corner town hall on race, which featured myself, Aneke, Trayvell Anderson of Fantai Podcast, comedian writer Shantira Jackson, who's written for the 50 Cent Show, the upcoming Saved by the Bell reboot, tech guru, video game enthusiast, Cymatic Bruce, who's been on the show, New York political rising star Kyle Ishmael of the House Party Podcast, and Jennifer Covington, who's just the feel-good guru of the century in my book. It was really dope, and I want y'all to be able to get access to this, but it's only available to our members. And you can also join in at $10 per month, and you get to choose a cool enamel pin from your favorite show. Choose Minority Corner, because together with majority, that's what it says, and it's really cute. And you'll also have the option to purchase others, so still time to get that Minority Corner pin. And all the proceeds from additional pins go to charity. So getting a cool pin and helping folks out. Look at you being all dope. And at $20 per month, you get the Maximum Fun Custom Game Pack with Max Fun Dice and a cute little velvet bag. And it's got the Rocket logo on it, so everybody knows you reppin' Max Fun. And you get a deck of playing cards. So let's go with podcast-inspired design. So you can check all of this out and so much more at MaximumFun.org/join. Do it. Hey, girl, hey.
Hi, I'm here. Happy every day.
Happy every day. Is it happy? You know what? Every day above ground is a gift because these are some times. I think there's just a lot happening. There's a lot that's happening. It's, I would say, close to like my worst nightmare of when Agent Orange got elected. Mm. I was like, oof, I hope all these things don't happen. There's one left that hasn't happened yet. I don't want to say it because I don't want to speak it into existence.
Yeah, let's not even.
The law of attraction.
Let's not even.
So we won't even say it. But you holding it down over there, NYC girl?
I mean, when was the last time we connected? I want to say at the beginning of the pandemic. I wasn't a much.
Oh, yeah, fresh. I have to say, I loved your, you sent me the best. It was not a gif, it's a meme. Hi, grandma. Wait. You sent me a meme of, it was like at the months like since the pandemic, and it's essentially like Kerry Washington.
Right, all her faces. I was definitely June, like for most of the pandemic.
It's so good because it like starts off with her just sort of like January, you just being boss ass, right. Like, oh, I'm Olivia Pope. February, you're like, what's going on? What is that? And then March, you're like listening right. to everything, you're like okay, what's going on? April, you're just like looking like, but what? What is that over there? May, you're drinking wine. Right. You are Olivia Pope drinking wine. June, you're crying. You're just crying. July, you look like a mess. You look like a mess. You're like, what day it right. is? You got your newspaper, you got a skin. And then by August, you're like really ravaged, looking for an escape plan. In September, it just looks like she's trying to escape out right. of an airplane window.
We gotta get crazy. Out. We all gotta get out. It's a lot happening.
You know what? Speaking of Kerry Washington, I want to say, your girl, I don't want to bring up old.
I
wounds,
knew you were gonna, but... you always want some drama. You just want to say some drama, James.
We're like 2 minutes into the show. Like, it's going to be a show.
Is that going to start the show?
Something. She is nominated. She's 4 Emmy nominations. Some for Little Fires Everywhere because she's also producing Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu. Highly recommend. And then she also got Emmy nods for American Son. So just saying that. And people are revisiting it on Netflix. Because they will say, when we last talked about American Son, it was before... fifth, sixth wave of the civil rights movement happening, right?
Oh, I'm glad that that's exactly how I've been describing it. I'm like, welcome to part 5 in the series of fighting for liberation. This is part 5 of the docuseries, okay?
Welcome, right? Yes, this thing that's been going on for hundreds of years, part 5, let's go.
All right, James, I just want to say, when I saw the meme and I saw that June was me, I was like, okay, this is a scene from American Son. I never said I didn't like the film.
I know.
I just felt like I could see how as a stage play, this was really captivating.
Here we go again. Here we go.
As a Netflix, It was just like a lot of spaces. But you know what? Congratulations to our girl.
There we go. And you know what? I will say this. Like, I appreciate, because she's producing. I'm appreciating artists. And we'll get to this when we talk about later. We can talk about Black is King. But yeah. I appreciate artists who are using, because she's producing these works, right? She just produced this documentary. I highly recommend it. It's called The Fight. It's a documentary. Oh. And it follows the ACLU. They have sued the Trump administration 180 times.
Oh my God.
Now they do sue like every president, because like every president, like the system is fucked. Like, mm-hmm. gotta keep them, you know, making sure that our civil liberties are in check. But they follow four specific cases in this documentary: the Muslim travel ban, transgender folks being able to be in the military, the kids in cages at the border, and I'm forgetting what the fourth one is. The census, and that it was connected to sort of like voting rights issues, and they were trying to put on a citizenship question on the census, which is bullshit. And anyways, also sidebar, make sure that you've filled out the census. They were trying to cut the census short. It's going to determine which states are getting additional House of Reps representation or taking away House of Rep representation. Agent mm-hmm. Orange and his administration are trying to do some fuckery. But anyways, I digress. It's such a good, I highly recommend it. You do have to pay $12. But like, think about this. We vote with our dollars, mm-hmm. right? Like, some people are like hemming and hawing because Mulan is finally going to be released, but it's going to be $30. But I'm like, weren't you going to go to the...
Come on. Okay. $30?
Why did okay, how much is a movie ticket, though?
That's how much all my streaming services are in a month, okay?
Right, yeah. But if you were going to go to the movie theater to go support our, you know, Asian actors and Mulan telling that story, like, movie tickets are, what, $20? And if you got a family, I mean, this is actually really a steal. If we want to keep, we got to support the industry, especially these stories. And I will say The Fight, like, we vote with our dollars, like... I totally understand. I have every streaming service. I probably spend $100 a month on streaming. No, I don't, because I share passwords and plans.
I love that,
but
yeah.
I do think, like, you know, I sometimes I look at it like I want to support this work. I want to support this artist.
Well,
you know?
James, I feel like paying $30 for Mulan and $12 for The Fight are two different stories. I'm paying $12 for The Fight.
100%.
But Mulan 100%. Okay, is a girl. Disney okay. Plus movie, and they took out the funny character, whoever his name was. And
ooh, the little dragon?
Yeah,
Mushu?
Took out Mushu. You gotta pay $30, ain't no Mushu? Nah, you want it.
Oh my
I got
God.
On Twitter, and I thought that was a typo. They're wilding.
And the songs, they also took out another character, but they took out another character, the male character in it, because he could have been seen as bisexual because he's attracted to Mulan. Because yeah. When she's a boy, and it's like, but what's that? Like,
but
he likes her both ways.
What's wrong with that?
That, Chloe, that is a great question. What is wrong with that? So his character isn't in there at all, but I just wanted to maybe this was the wrong example. Anyways, back to The Fight.
So we're going to pay $12 for The Fight, like I said. That's really funny.
Yes, totally.
I just, okay, and, go. Finish what you said.
Yeah, yeah, go.
I missed this. I was like, this is it. So I just, okay. I'm not trying to harp on old wounds. I'm not, because I know we're going to talk Black is King as well.
Are we going back to America's Idol? We're moving on to sports. We're talking about ladies in sports now.
But it's not it's not about just that. It's about, I really appreciate that. I do feel like there needs to be, as you know, Black POC consumers, I don't want us to be super critical, but I also want us to be like, you know what? I can love this film, but also find that multiple truths can be true at one time. I never want to bash like, yo, I didn't fuck with that. I thought it was great. I just felt like there are multiple
right.
truths.
It was
that
the was technical it. Aspect yeah. of yes. it. Right. And I think like for me, we're back in this conversation right. for me, like I had seen it. So I had already gotten the theatrical experience. Mm. So I just was like, ooh, now I get the close-ups, but
that makes sense.
So I had that yeah. sort of a journey with it. But anyways, just going back to The right. Fight, like so inspiring. If you're looking for something to be inspired by, like, whoof, you know, John Lewis has passed away. The mm-hmm. torch is on us to continue. One thing I walked away with in documentary is that like, oh, this is life. You know, like fighting for equality, it is a journey, not a destination. Like, that's what people have been doing for centuries. Our people, where we come right. from, Glory, that like this is, and so it's sort of just like understanding that like part of life is fighting for justice and equality, like that in whatever avenue,
right,
whatever avenue it is. Like for some people, it's like baking cookies and then donating that money to the ACLU, or some, you know, they're still, you know, fighting for immigrant rights, or Black Lives Matter organizations, right? Or doing comedy, or, you know, being a doctor, whatever it is, yeah. Everyone has their avenue to do it.
I feel like it's even bigger that it's just part of life. It's just part of our legacy. And it's like, we, like you said, we got to keep passing the torch on. It's like, why would, yeah, you know, John Lewis come so far for us to just kind of be lazy about, or lackadaisical, that, you know, like just, I said the word lackadaisical, like,
you said it, girl.
Okay,
you said
right.
It.
Last of days ago.
We don't okay. Got... 10 points.
Thank you.
Glory,
English. We're going to talk about all that. Okay. We're going to talk about English, everything. But I love that.
You're right. Well, yeah, so true. And speaking of reasons why we need to keep the fight up, like, I don't know if you saw this. So, you know, like, there's been beautiful approved murals of, like, on streets. It'll be like Black Lives Matter.
Oh, this is, we're going to talk about this.
Did you
see? Gonna,
oh, yeah. Do you want to tell the people what happened?
White people.
Fair. Starting right. off.
White people. No, essentially, there are people that are a little bit upset about the fact that around a few cities in the Americas that we're doing all Black Lives Matter murals on the streets. They're mm-hmm. beautiful.
Beautiful, yellow, big, right. Can't miss it.
I think one of them is like literally on the street where the, like, that leads to the White House, and John Lewis procession was right. there. It's just like, you know, celebrating.
And one of it was one of the last times John Lewis is out in public as he went to right. that street to see it. It's just a beautiful
Isn't that,
image.
Right. It's like full circle, beautiful. And so, and a lot of people are still really confused. I just don't understand how you can be confused about the message of Black Lives Matter. It's not about that your life mm-hmm. doesn't matter or the cops don't mm-hmm. matter. It's about the fact that there's never been equality. There's not, we're not on the same playing field. And like, all lives cannot matter until Black Lives Matter. The end. It's really not that deep. Oof. It's not that. It's,
girl, we can go home right now. Goodbye, just, y'all. Good luck. Right. Have a good day. Because Glory just right. dropped the mic. Like, why are we still talking about
it's
this?
Why, it's just and, like, why are you confused? Like, it's not about yeah. that your life doesn't matter. It's like, you know that you have privilege. Or that's, I guess that's the thing about right. privilege. You don't know, but whatever the fuck.
You don't understand what it is. But sometimes you just sort of listen and you listen and hear, you know, what's going on. It's sort of like, I've had this realization, and we're going to get to this later, but it's between watching the fight, and we just did a Minority Corner town hall, and then watching Black is King, I had this realization, just sort of like, I had an aha moment about white supremacy.
Okay.
Like recognizing what white supremacy is like being a fish in water and understanding what the ocean is. It's everywhere, oh! right? When you're... Fish don't understand that they're swimming in water. But if you were to tell a fish, like, hey, you know you're in water, they'd be like, oh my God, it's
is
everywhere,
this a Hudson
right?
River? Not kidding.
And that's to me what white supremacy yeah. is. It's like realizing, like, oh my God, it is everywhere. I feel like I've, like, and it's not like I did not already know that, but it's just like, I've been noticing just little microaggressions or just in certain systems that, like, white supremacy is so ingrained in everything. Right. So we have to continue to question and challenge everything and right. dismantle and take things apart because it's infected.
The whole world has been having a plague.
White supremacy's been white supremacy's been a pandemic that's been wreaking right. havoc for multiple centuries. But in Tampa, Florida, yeah. they were trying to do, like, no one knows what they were trying to say, because the Black Lives Matter mural, you could clearly say yeah. it says Black Lives Matter. This thing, it's like, first of all, it's too messy. Like, clearly this is why, like, artists, like, they didn't got no artist friends or something.
Right. But it's Florida, are, James.
Fair. But I think they're trying to pop up. They're trying to make Fetch happen. Like, this is, like, the logo. Right. And the thing that I love about it, it's, like, blue, white, and black, and which is also the colors of, like, the gay men's leather flag. To me, it looks just like they're painting, like, yay, gay leather men. Yeah. And you can't really read what it says. It's, like, buck the blue or bock the blue or, like, I think it's supposed to say like back the right. blue, but it does. It's a mess. So
I just
striking you out.
I think it was a waste of energy. You could have just sat home and maybe made like an Instagram post and been upset by yourself. Like, you vandalized a street.
Ooh, yes, because you know what? Here's the thing. The Black Lives Matter murals had permits
to be able to do that. It was laws. It was permits and permission.
And you all supposed to be like, ooh, trying to follow, right, you know, these laws. I mean, again, the police have, the KKK happened and then the police happened, right? Yeah. Like there's the history of the police is riddled in anti-blackness and white supremacy and protecting specifically capitalism, which, right, we talked about here on this show as well. So this is like
I just feel like people they just don't understand, like, I guess maybe like analogies or just human rights, maybe, because this is like, mm-hmm, police, the people behind the suits. Okay, I guess your people, I don't know, but black lives, right? I'm just saying, like, you're trying to analyze, yeah, like blue, no, lives, yeah, are equivalent to black lives. Like, no, they're, right, not, they're not the same thing. So it's just like, you're, right, backing an organization that stands for things. You're not backing human beings. Right. I'm not saying that, right, I'm not like, you know, anti-police or whatever the fuck, but it's like you are doing your job and your job is fucked. So why would you have why do you need a mural for that shit? You're not, that doesn't mean, like, right, Bob, you're a cop. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, yeah, right? Like,
well, no, and the thing is, what it's missing the conversation, like what you were saying, is that it's like you said, it's putting black people versus the cops, and that's not the conversation. Right, that's not what we're saying. You're missing the point, right, which is why, like, stop painting, put the paintbrush down, right, Susie. And listen, because then what you're saying, it's not black people versus the cops. That's not the idea. What we're asking for is, like you said, like when Black Lives Matter, what we're saying is, like, that's like, you know, like someone saying all houses matter, right? Right? My house is on fire. Yes, all houses matter, but my house is burning, right, down. Can we put this fire out over here first?
Right. Like, and it's been for decades, for years, that
centuries,
all, yeah, that people, yeah, police are actively like scouting black people. Like, it's not like you're like, oh, right, you made a crime, let's the consequences. It's like, no, I'm gonna make you make a crime and I'm gonna come after you. That's really like, mm-hmm, what the, right, issue is. So it's just like, keep your fucking arts and craft at home, Becky. Like, ain't nobody need that shit. Your chalk, whatever the fuck you use from Michael's, put that shit back on the shelf. Thank you.
You was not ready for prime time. Right. On the flip side, I want to give some snaps. We're gonna talk about sports.
Are we well versed in this? I don't know. So
Gloria's like, are we ready? I don't know. So Gloria, did you see the game the other day?
I didn't even know the NBA was back. I knew the WNBA was back, but the NBA, I saw that was like, oh, y'all playing for real still? Okay.
So I want to give, speaking of the WNBA, I want to give them props, because first of all, WNBA does not get like enough props anyways, because, you know, sexism, like women in sports, right, like why are we
lower
not giving, you know,
they're salary.
Not
make,
they barely make, they don't make enough money. A lot of them have to work like extra jobs. It's a travesty. But mm-hmm. In the WNBA, they dedicated the entire season to Black Lives Matter, and specifically Breonna Taylor. I think they did like they said their names. And this was a really beautiful tribute. Oh, they walked off the court during the national anthem. It's a really funny clip. Someone's like, oh, say, and they're just like out.
Oh my
God. Walk into the locker room.
Bye, bitch. Say nothing.
No. And then to kick it over to LeBron James. So LeBron James is helping, because in Florida, they granted ex-felons, it's complicated, but they granted ex-felons the right to vote again, right? And then the local legislation tried to like fuck that up and was like, but you gotta pay your poll, like you gotta pay your like fines or whatever, right, which is essentially a poll tax, which is illegal. And so then LeBron James is giving over like $100,000 to help people pay off those fees, and like, because otherwise it's like you'll never get your right to vote back, right? Like, and some people, like, it's just insane how you can get nickeled and dimed for like all these different things in the court mm-hmm. system. So I want to applaud him, and then at the same breath say, fuck you, Michael Jordan, where are you at?
Wait, because LeBron helped? But that's not, I'm not, you see, you be kind of drama, James.
Let's do this. Hold my ring.
Okay,
Where he at? Okay.
Again, like, before I say this, and yeah, the world canceled me, I'm not well-versed in the sports arena, but I do know that Michael Jordan has
put the cancel button
right,
down.
Hello. But Michael Jordan has a history of not really being the most, like, vocal on black issues, right? We saw this with OJ Simpson, like back when he was a football player as well. Like, they thought they can transcend race and just be like, yeah, like I'm black, but I also am a millionaire, so like I'm not black, you know?
Right. But Blackwood, it's convenient. Like, right. Ooh, old, you trying to convict me for this murder that you probably, we know I that mean, you didn't do what we, I'm right. not, I can't say, it's weird. Like, as a Black person, you can't say it, even though you like, you know, I mean, but you know,
at
can't.
That time, he had time, Rodney King, he had everything lined up to get free, which.
Oh,
which,
it was a perfect lightning storm right. for him to be able to not right. be found guilty.
But I just want to like, I understand we're in a place where we want to hold everybody accountable, but I feel like for me, you know, I hear LeBron, you do what you got to do for the people and your legacy. And if Michael Jordan is doing something in pub, because if you want to make it known if you're helpful or not, that's just, I feel like people do that yeah. if they want it to be known. Maybe Michael's doing stuff that we don't know. So I don't want
to, you know what he's doing? Oh, I know what he's doing. No. He's investing in prisons. That's what
is
he's
he
doing.
Really?
Part of yes. And that's why I have such a
fed. Okay, so
him.
That's why you he okay, that's why you throw the shade. Okay, that's fine, James. You should have said that at the beginning. Okay. So yes, that's fucked up.
He is part of why he's become a billionaire is the things that he's invested in, and he has invested in private prisons. And what is frustrating, because you mentioned, you know, in the past he's not the most vocal, but like you think about this, like people were like back in the 90s killing themselves over those Jordans, right. killing each other yeah. over, literally killing each other over Jordans, so much in fact there was a Family Matters special episode about Laura's friend.
I want to take a pause
and
here,
you know, when Family Matters is doing a special right. episode, when that show is written by white people, and I'm pretty sure. And when they're doing an episode about, like, you know, what's going on in the Black community, you know it's bad. And Michael Jordan can't come out and say, hey, stop shooting each other or lower the prices of his Jordans.
Damn, you brought it to capitalism back. You're like, lower them damn prices. I feel like Michael had made, I think over this period, he made like one little statement. I forgot what it was. I think like his film was coming out. So he said something, but I don't rely like him, Michael Jordan, Kanye. Like, I'm not looking for them to be heroes.
Oh God, well, ain't nobody looking at Kanye for I'm just, like, you know who's looking at Kanye? David Duke. That's who's looking at him.
Wait.
Former Grand Wizard of the KKK. All right. Yeah.
Yo, when I just want to take a moment to honor how James has all the receipts. He said, "You gonna bring something up? I'm gonna bring a receipt."
Let me go through. I am a Wikipedia page.
I'm not the receipt.
Let me go through.
But I do want to acknowledge LeBron. Like, people are gonna feel they feel about Michael, but I never looked to him for that kind of leadership. Like, he got overpriced right. sneakers. Yeah, I'm not like surprised. But LeBron, I think it sounds like he's on the right trajectory of trying to do good. I also don't want, I just feel like people see these like celebrities and they glorify them. It's like they're not gonna save us. So like, it's great that you're doing that, but
you're right,
they're not saving us.
Yeah. And I think too, you bring up something that I think is also really important too, because it goes back to what we were saying earlier about, like, you know, John Lewis, that like we can't, I think that happens too with politics. Like, people are looking for like the savior politician. It's like, no, like, we are a collective, we are a big ass village. Okay. And it takes, the saying is, it takes a village. So everyone, you know, does their part. So
I do think that we need leadership. I'm saying like, if you I know, but like, if you went and you did, because what's happening with the media now, like, select, everybody has a voice, so it's like, we're gonna look to Ja Rule for like expertise on Black life. I'm sorry, did Ja Rule get a BA that I don't know about in African-American studies? So everybody look, I think Dave Chappelle had a joke about that, like, who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks? Like, not trying to be fucked up, but what I'm saying is that
it's true. You're right. Like, why are we looking at Ja Rule? We should be like really looking to like some of the historians right. or like
people,
you
that
know, like,
actually
be,
or, like, do this for a living, and actually that this is their,
yeah, like social workers. Right. Let's talk to the social workers or like the, you know, therapists or activists, right. like people who have studied this and work on this. You're right. Right. Like, who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks?
Yeah, like everybody just wants these people to, because they have a. I think you should obviously use your platform for what aligns with your morals, but I don't think as right. us consumers, we should like, oh, LeBron is my person, because he did this for people that just got out of prisons. I think it's great. Good for you. That's another right. point. I might support a game. I might watch a basketball game one day now.
It turned my beat around, because I honestly was like, you know, in the debate against like Michael LeBron, I was like, because I grew up in the 90s, I was like, oh yeah, Michael forever. But the more I learned about him, now seeing what LeBron James does, like, I would maybe, like you said, watch a game, or I
might do that.
Might, don't hold us to it. I might watch one of his commercials and not right. turn it off or something, you know, right. like there's things that I might do. So that brings up something. Ellen is in trouble.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. She might be in trouble or something. But okay.
Receipts.
So Let's pull up the receipts. So Ellen is currently under investigation for possibly holding by what her employees have described as creating a culture of racism, fear, and intimidation on the show. And while crew members were also expressed their frustration over Ellen, she was hiring non-union workers while they were filming during the lockdown. So there's an investigation and, like, real talk rumors. I know people who worked on her show and they say she's mean.
No, so. I've also heard the same thing. Like, you know, I live on LinkedIn, James. Like, that's my favorite social media network. And every week they have a new position open. I'm like, wow, like, Ellen really has jobs like that?
Oh, look at that turnaround.
Right. It's just like, it's really toxic. And it's like, working in media in general is toxic. And I think that with the fifth installment of the civil rights movement, other people are starting to see this right? Welcome to part five. People are starting to see across the board, like, these institutions are also upholding things that are kind of racist and, like, fucked up. And before, people didn't want to speak out. And I started in the advertising industry. Like, when everything happened with George Floyd, like, other people started coming out like, yo, I've been mistreated at work. Even I called out my old company. They called me. They were like, what can we do? Bitch, I'm not here to give you consultation.
Wow.
Yeah. So now it's like across the whole board and people are really speaking out. And I've seen celebrities come out like, you know, Ellen's my friend. And this is not the time for you, Kevin Hart, to speak about that. If Black employees said there was racism at Ellen Ventures, let them get their peace. I don't give a shit how.
Right.
Obviously, you're gonna be treated better. You're in her same class, like the same class financially.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, I think it negates other people's experience. Like, it's just not you. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just to listen. Right. It's like when Harvey Weinstein, the stuff was going on with him. There was, like, I think Meryl Streep was like, "Well, that he never happened to me."
And nobody asked you.
But that doesn't mean that it didn't.
The thing is that did somebody ask you?
Well, I think they did, but. Still, didn't mean that it didn't happen to you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, okay. But I do think, like, I will say, this kind of makes me want to throw open my mouth a little bit, that Ted Cruz, I might agree with part of what Ted Cruz is saying.
Oh, God. Do I have to leave?
I'm sorry. Glory's like, bye. But he did say that part of Ellen's downfall kind of stemmed from when she forgave Kevin Hart for his homophobic comments. And, like, I was down for forgiving him. I just wanted him to, like,
I see the drama.
I just wanted him to, like, my thing with Kevin Hart was, like, he left the conversation, right? Like, I'm not about, like, cancel culture to a certain point. It's like, let's have a conversation, but he ran away, right? So we couldn't have the conversation. Like, Nick Cannon stepped in it, but he stuck around and he had the conversation, right? Like, when he made his anti-Semitic comments. And then Ellen, like, she sat next to President Bush, right? And people were up in arms.
Oh, we saw that. I was ready to bring that up. Because I seen that.
And so Ted Cruz is like, oh, people are canceling her because of those two moments. And that's why the sort of people are so quick to cancel her right now is because she's had those two missteps.
No, I think that it's been there's actual record of her, like, the company. The thing is that people see the face and they don't see, there's people obviously I'm sure it's not Ellen, like, being racist, but people that she's hired that are upholding these beliefs, and that is then a reflection of her beliefs, even if it's not, because she's not doing the checks and balances. But I do want to go back to
the fish rots from the head.
Hello. I want to talk about, you know, I'm not trying to get your podcast canceled, but the thing about having the conversation is that, right, you're like, what? The thing about having the conversation is that, unfortunately, somebody has to take the L, but then you learn. And something that I learned in the Nick Cannon situation that I didn't know, because I always knew anti-Semitism was bad, but I didn't really understand that it's really the media amplification of that. And if that conversation wasn't had, I wouldn't have known that. Because, like, it's about spewing this, like, getting the media and, like, people to start thinking these, like, negative things about, like, the Jewish people. And I knew it was bad because, like, you should never, like, mistreat anybody, but I didn't understand. And it was like that propaganda aspect of it. So that's something that I learned that I didn't know before. So yeah, he took an L.
And because you had that because Nick Cannon stuck around and was willing to have that conversation, right? Like, that's what we're saying. Let's have a conversation.
And me, when I first saw the Kevin, I know we're going on five tangents. Is what we do when I'm a guest star. I'm sorry, but
this is what we do. This is this is minority.
Oh, okay. I was like, thank God.
It's not just you.
With the Kevin Hart situation, my first thought, as working in somebody in media with, like, a PR background, is like, he should have used that opportunity to have a bigger conversation within Black men and their homophobic rights. And it's like, you know what? I fucked up. I didn't know that. A lot of people, what's happening happening now is like we're all having like this consciousness awakening. Like some of the things we grew up with was really fucked up. And it's like, I'm not a bad person anymore, but some of these beliefs, they're just not who I am. And it's like, he could have done that and really did something bigger for the culture versus like saying like, I'm not having this conversation anymore. And Ellen is my friend. I said what I said. It's like, you know what? Let's actually use this opportunity to talk about why it was wrong. And if you don't want to forgive me, that's fine. But at least I want to give the platform so that other people learn and it's not continued. The end.
Yep. Glory, you need to get on these people's PR teams because need you. Like,
hello.
Because that was good. That's literally... Right. That's all people were asking for.
If I wasn't a legend,
right? Yeah, it's then like, you could,
yeah, you know, I got my own cancellations to happen, okay, James? But
right. Well, I mean, on the other side, like, I guess it's too late for, I mean, I shouldn't speak ill of, I have such mixed feelings because, you know, we talk about Black legends who've really been there for the community and the advancement of Black people. And then, you know, Herman Cain died as he lived, you know, shucking and jiving. Herman Cain ran for president, Black man. People used to throw that in my face, like, well, not people, like, really terrible Republican teachers looking back.
Ew.
Would be like, but Herman Cain, he's Black. And got COVID at a Trump rally in Tulsa. That's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot of layers. Was telling people like, we don't need masks. But meanwhile, someone on, I guess he has a website or a blog that somebody was writing for, and they were writing about the importance of wearing a mask and that if we all wore masks, we could be through this so much sooner. So weird that his blog site was like, wear a mask. Then he, you know, he got sick. It's sad that he died, but it's like, can this be the wake up call for everybody to realize wear a fucking mask?
I'm gonna tell you something, James, and this might be fucked up, but that shit was kind of funny. Like, it's just like, how do you sit here and support Trump and be like, you don't wear a mask and then you die? Like, what? That shit is very weird.
Yes, I know.
It's crazy because you didn't have to get COVID.
No, he did not.
You went to a Trump rally. Like, and it's just like, I think it's fucked up, but it's like, definitely put this one in the history books.
Right.
Please put that McGraw-Hill.
It is a bullet point there.
I do feel bad, but I honestly, why are people so against wearing a mask? Like, we should have been wearing masks. There's so many germs and the air is polluted. Everything's fucked up. Like, just wear a fucking mask. And if you can't breathe, take out your nose for like 5 seconds and put it back on.
Oh, wait, you mean I shouldn't just cut a hole around my nose and my mouth?
No.
There was a,
is that what they're doing in Cali?
No, it's what they're doing in certain parts of the country, like down south.
I can't. I just don't. It's not even that big of a fucking. Is it because they're hot? Like, what the fuck is the issue?
I don't know. But it's just like, it goes back to Agent Orange, who has made this an issue when it didn't need to be. And it didn't need to be a political issue. But it's like, you literally have, he's the white supremacist in chief. And he's an egomaniac. Those two are a disastrous combination. Have the audacity to say that he has done more for Black people than any president since Lincoln.
He just be saying shit for like, because you know what the thing about Trump that he does well is the same thing that Kanye does. They know how to manipulate the media. They're like, right. I'm gonna give you a little soundbite so you can go fly with that shit. I'm not even gonna do my fact checking. You did not. What you're doing is spewing hate speech, and that's taking back everybody 10 years back. So shut the fuck up.
Right. And so it goes back to
dick.
Yes. And so it goes back to me. Well, we all love sucking dicks. Well, everybody. I think everybody does.
What?
I think if everybody has the opportunity.
Is that who we are?
Minority corner? Yes, because it's actually very homophobic to say go suck a dick, because then is it? We all suck. Yeah, it is.
This is why we have the conversation.
This is why we come here.
To be clear,
it's almost usually it's like anybody who sucks a dick is like inferior. So it's inferior. It's like, so it's misogynistic and homophobic.
Is saying suck my dick wrong? Because I always say suck my
dick. Oh, no, that's powerful. Okay, I think. I feel like I own that.
Okay.
Because it's like, you come over here and you get me off. Yeah. It's that's owning. I think that's say, powerful. Yeah.
I didn't mean to be. That's why we have the conversation.
This is why we're here.
What I meant was for Trump to suck my dick.
And look, you didn't just say, you know what? You didn't just Kevin Hart me and be like, well, whatever. leave.
Right. I'm leaving the podcast. So yeah, that's good to know. Like, it's so funny because I've been having having this. I think this whole climate has been awkward for everyone, even the people that are on the right side of history. Because like, okay, have I always been on the right side? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We all stepping.
But I've been talking to my friends, and like, so they were like saying how like, oh, it's terrible that you can't even be in your own privacy. Like now it's PC culture. I'm like, that is the issue. It's not about it's not really what happens in public. It's the private conversations you have with people. That's what mm-hmm. keeps these things happening. So mm-hmm. I had seen like a video on the internet, and sometimes I don't really know how people gender themselves. So I always say like I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So I just say they. Yeah. He's like, oh, now we can't like just have a regular combo. I'm like, no, I want to be respectful. If somebody feels like, even in my daily practice in private, if somebody feels like that's how they want to be addressed, I want to make sure I start implementing that now, so that when I'm in person, I don't say something stupid. And that doesn't mean that I'm like restricting myself. It's just called empathy. So if somebody says like, hey, this hurt my feelings, okay, I can adjust. It's not because I have the privilege to be like, I'm cis hetero. I don't know. I think
I mean, are you? I don't know if you're cis hetero.
I mean, we might find out. Secret. But
okay, quarantine.
Right. What I'm saying is like, there's a privilege associated with like sex orientation. So just because I have that privilege, that's what privilege is. You get to step outside of yourself and be like, hey, I want to see how other people identify or do. So I don't step on whatever they're doing. So I just wanted to clarify me clarifying my second day comment. Thank you.
Okay, no, we love it. That's right. And you know what? Everybody need to go out there and suck some dick.
We're
in a pandemic. We're in a pandemic. So, like, don't. Unless it's, like, already with you. So,
right. I haven't sucked dick since 20. What year is this? I guess 2019 was the last time I sucked a dick.
Good for you. All right. Let's go to break. Girl, it's been nothing is less sexy than a pandemic. We'll just leave it at that. So there we go. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. All right, it is a wonderful pledge break. Gloria, I'm so happy that you're here with me to break down I'm so happy that you're here with me to help celebrate the Maximum Fun Drive. Like, it's just such an important time of year. It's like Maximum Fun Christmas. And I want to get into what some of the listeners have said of why they support Maximum Fun. I think you've got the first one.
Yeah, so, you know, we got somebody that was like, I think they're supporting the show / creators. That listen to and that you give to entertainment makes sense. Plus, all the extra bonus content pretty much makes the membership pay for itself. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's great. And then someone also wrote in because we had sent out an email. We asked people, we get a survey, and they said why they support the Maximum Fun Drive. They say the bonus episodes are some of the best shows, great content for fans.
I love that.
And we have an amazing bonus content coming up. We did a town hall on race for some of the some black comedians, some black politicians, rising stars, black guests who've been here on the show before. We'll get you on the next one.
Bro, I was like, oh, wow, excluded. I was like, wow.
Oh, my God, on the heels of what we were just talking about.
Wow. No kidding. It's totally fine. So, you know, I used to feel sensitive because my friend would have like Black History Month, like comedy shows. And she's like, I'm going to bring you for the Latino one.
That's man.
It's okay. It's okay. I live in an intersection.
You do. We're navigating it. You're like triply intersection. All right. You want to read the next one?
Yes. I think it's important to help support the things you love if you have the means, whether that's a podcast or museums or libraries or print news or music or whatever. If you find value in the thing that you're enjoying, then it's worth supporting it financially.
Right. That makes sense.
That was a good one.
And then someone also wrote, I love that Max Fun is independent and artist oriented. Supporting them via membership means that you pay the people who make stuff you love. I think that's true. Vote with your dollars, right?
Always, always. Because it's capitalism.
True. Very true.
You're like, yep, that's exactly what it is. Okay.
All right, next one.
I have been a member for almost 10 years now and love how the network has grown in that time. Max Fun is a good thing to exist in this world, and I want other people to have a chance to share in that.
I love it. And, you know, we are so lucky to have the podcast right now as an outlet, as a way to connect with everybody and just feel in some way that we're helping our community by at least providing, you know, companionship. And it's a wild time. There's so much that is going on, and I'm grateful that, you know, Maximum Fun exists. I'm grateful that the show exists. I'm grateful that you're able to come here and that people are listening to us. And But this, you know, doing these podcasts every week, we're kind of putting out two every week. It takes time. Right.
Oh, wow.
It takes technology. It takes funding to keep producing episodes to share with everybody. So essentially, when you join or upgrade, it enables us to continue doing this instead of, you know, I mean, if this means that you're not going to be able to buy Mulan, then that's okay.
God.
You can come become a member at Maximum Fun Drive. Better than Mulan. Done.
What I was going to say, James, is that every time I come on the podcast, I'm like, you know, when people say you need to do your homework.
Yeah.
This is the homework. This is the homework, not only for us, for y'all, but this is like, if you don't know where to do your homework, this is where you need to start.
This is right here. Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. Tell people how they can become members.
Membership at Maximum Fun starts at $5 a month. That gets you all the bonus content. You'll be able to access that as long as you're a member. And there's a whole lot already waiting for you right now. If you choose to join at $10, okay, ballin', a month, you get Max Fun membership. You get a card, a little cool pin. And you also get more bonus content.
Yes, that BOCO. And if you get a $20, if you go for $20 a month, you're still not at Mulan money, but you're getting there.
Right. You got Disney Plus money.
You get this that year's special funny. Gift, which is a Max Fun game pack, which features a custom dice set and custom deck of playing cards, all with Maximum Fun design. So all you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/join to become a member. It's just that easy.
I love it. And you can get a subscription for a friend for 1 year. That's a really cute gift. Give the gift of homework. White people, get this is a tool. You need to, when you subscribe, you need to subscribe with another person, okay?
Right, this is part of reparations.
Right, exactly. So you can both enjoy the BOCO and swag. You can get a gift subscription to someone you've never met. On Tinder, you see somebody problematic, buy them a gift. Or anyone that had to cancel this year due to COVID.
Oh my God, yeah, because a lot of people had like hardships. So this is a great thing if you know someone who had right. to or wants to and can't, if you can, you know, get them in at the $5 level, especially because I really would love, like, again, we did a Minority Corner Town Hall on race. I'm so proud of it. Glory, we're going to get you in the next one.
Glory wasn't there.
Oh my God. But I'm so proud of it. And I hope that y'all will definitely check it out. It's so powerful. So many great folks were in on it. And Gloria will be in the next one. So you'll be paying the BOCO and Maximum Fun gifts forward to someone who could use a little extra cheer if you sign them up for a membership. So all you have to do for that is you're going to check the anonymous Max Funster box when you're filling out the form online at MaximumFun.org/join. So as we wrap here and we're going to get back into the show, I just want to take a moment to say huge thanks to all of our members who have made it possible for us to keep doing this through all of through these times. And I got to say, for Maximum Fun, you all are, for Minority Corner, you all have been just blown out of the waters. The support has been astronomical. It feels like a hug of love. I feel so appreciated. Ooh, I feel so, I you know, that. Grateful and inspired to like keep doing the work. I'm here. We're here for you all. We're going to keep doing the work. We're going to keep doing the homework. We're going to keep doing the research. Right. We're going to keep bringing the entertainment, the love, the passion, the excitement, because you all have essentially, with the Maximum Fun Drive, voted with your dollars and tell us that you want more, and we're going to keep on giving it to ya. X going to give it to ya. But not, that's a bad example, because he went to jail for taxes or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we'll
do right. Anyways, head on over to MaximumFun.org/join. It's the final week, and get in on the fun. All right, Glory, here we go. Back in action. Okay, so it's another day in American massacre slaughter that you probably never knew about. So I'm going to be talking about, it is the history of the only successful American coup that ever actually happened.
What's the coup?
A coup is essentially when it's like an overthrow. So it's like when they say that, like, they overthrow. And this is the only time there has ever been a successful coup that happened here in the United States. And I'm not talking about,
wow.
I'm not talking about the Civil War, because they were trying to succeed and they were unsuccessful because they're losers. Never forget that the Confederate flag, when you look at that, you're like, man, what a bunch of fucking losers. That's what it is. You see that flag, just always know the history. And when someone's waving it around, they're like waving and showing you what a loser they are. They're like, I love being a loser. Let me have this. And you love them too much to let them wave around that flag of losers.
That's the slogan for the Confederate flag.
We're losers. So, all right. So this is coming from three articles, The Atlantic, blackpast.org, and NPR. So,
okay, he said, I'm going to tell you facts with sources, okay?
Okay. So this happened. It was coming out of Reconstruction, which, you know, never really successfully happened. So after, you know, the period from 1965, there was, not 1965, it felt like it, 1865, when the slaves were...
same shit, because we still fight it.
Yeah, I mean...
We still in Reconstruction.
What happened 100 years later? They were fighting for, like, their civil rights, which, you know, we will get to.
I just had a flashback where, you know, like at the end of like BT movies, or like they have like dance, like what happened to them? And like, we still fighting. Like, it's still like,
yeah, that's literally it. You're like, oh, what happened? Oh, we still, like, still happening.
Where are they now? Yeah.
Still doing the same shit. So on November 10th, 1898, a long time ago, in this predominantly black city of Wilmington, North Carolina, is where this happened. And at the time, this was the state's largest metropolis. So, you know, again, if you're like, oh, I don't really hear about a lot of black people being in Wilmington, you'll find out why. Mm. So there was a statewide election that was happening in this time, in 1898. There was a statewide election that was happening, and it was showing a huge power shift that the Democrats, remember, this is the shitty version of the Democrats, like Democrats mm-hmm. didn't get dope until like the 60s.
Right.
This is like the racist Confederate loser Democrats. So they were starting to gain power in North Carolina. But Wilmington, however, remained Republican. Remember, Republicans are good back then. Remained Republican because of its dope as black residents who were super involved and engaged in the political system. Mm-hmm. So, yes, black people could vote in the South. So remember, this is in the South. Black people could vote back then. So
I have a question. Sorry, I'm a student. Yeah. Is this the same city where the guy had like his own press and like they kind of blew it up?
This is exactly the story.
Okay,
yes.
Okay,
student. Okay, somebody already. Okay, A plus. You're the kid in the front. Like, hello. I know this story.
Right. No, I know part, but I know I'm about to get all the receipts. I know part of it. You're about to get all the receipts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, too, caveat. I was inspired to talk about this. If you've seen the most recent John Oliver, they talk about this story specifically. But I love that you already knew about the guy with the newspaper, because that's exactly Hello. Where we're going.
Boom. Hello. She you knows were like, okay. Mystery. Okay.
But if you think about this, so black people were able to vote in the South during this time period. So when you have the Civil Rights Act, all black people were actually asking for were to get the thing that they already had back. Mm-hmm. So... Also, think about black men did get the right to vote before white women, because white women got the vote. I think it was 1919. During Prohibition, because people were like sober, and then they were like, yeah, let them vote.
Right. That's exactly how it went. That sounds like a really white man conversation. You drink and make decisions.
Done and done. Okay, so there's this guy. But then if you were looking at it, like, who was really fucked over the most, though? Black women. So Alfred Moore Waddell, he was a former Confederate officer, white supremacist, so just all around fucker, right? Just, you know, fuck that guy. I would not let him suck my dick.
Hello. Right. You got to be cognizant about that.
Yeah, you get away from here. So he led a bunch, he wishes he could. He led a bunch of white supremacists to ouster the Wilmington city officials. So just think like tiki torches, right? Just think that moment there.
So, like they did a few like last year this time.
Mhm. Yeah.
With the Michael Tiki, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So the thing that set this off is that Southern Democrats had lost their grip on power in North Carolina in 1894. And then they were plotting. So remember, this election's going to happen in 1898 that's going to get them with their tiki torches. So in 1894, they were like, fuck, we lost. We got to get back our power. So in typical evil ass conservative, you know, planning, they campaign on some birth of a nation shit of like white supremacy. We've got to protect black. We've got to protect not black women. We've got to protect white women from black men. And it's just like, it's just such a false narrative. Like, black men are not trying, like, we will know that they know that they will get murdered if a white woman looks at them, right? But it was this, and it's this narrative that still takes place to this day. And it was the catalyst. We talked about this last a while back, but like, the Rosewood Massacre had started over this white woman had accused that she had been beaten up and raped by this black man. And that was a lie, you know?
And so that was the thing that set off the Emmett Till thing as well.
Emmett Till, yes, again. Yeah. So again, when you look at like Christian, well, the thing that almost happened with Christian Cooper, we know how that story could have happened, right?
We've seen it.
Terrifying. So these idiots held all these supremacist rallies, just ginning up all this, you know, white anger, white male rage, and they organized militias of red shirts, which isn't that interesting that they're wearing red shirts and these MAGA people be wearing red hats. So they were wearing red shirts to intimidate black folks from voting. And this, the guy that I was talking about earlier, Alfred Moore Waddell, fuckface, he got all mad because the Daily Record that you were talking about, that newspaper.
The Daily Record!
The Daily Record. That'd be a great podcast name, The Daily Record.
Right.
It's like black news. Think about it. Somebody get on
that. Okay. You better not be giving out your IP on your own podcast.
I know. Wait a minute. It's already taken. Trademark. So he wrote this in quotes, poor white men are careless in the matter of protecting their women. And that just set them
And he, but he also, oh no,
well, I was going to say, he also was paraphrasing articles by Ida B. Wells on lynching. And Ida B. Wells, he was also referencing interracial, referencing interracial sex. He was pretty much was like, white men have been, you know, raping black women for centuries, challenging this pure white womanhood, and just sort of just like stating out the facts. He was like, our experiences among poor white people in the country teaches us that women of that race are not any more particular in matter of clandestine meetings with colored men than the white men with the colored women. So just putting out the facts.
Right. And I think in that statement, he also said that it wasn't that the black men were attracted to the white women. They were the ones attracted to them, and they didn't even want them.
Ding, 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 ding. Get your supper.
Right. If you're giving out, you know, things, I might take something. If you're taking out samples.
Okay. You get you trying to know over here. What am I supposed to do? You just, you know, I might have to risk my life for it. Oh, it's not worth it. So
I don't know about, yeah.
I mean, 48 hours later, this dude led 400 to 500 white dudes to the Daily Record, and they fucked it up, burnt it down.
I think they did.
Yeah. And so lots of folks left, including the man who ran the paper, and 14 black folks had died that day. But then it's weird. And see, this is like who tells history? Because I have one reporting that says 14 people died that day. Another one said about 60 people were murdered. Another one said that 90 people were murdered. So maybe it was like over the time span that this coup was happening, a lot of black folks were murdered once again. And here's the thing. We've talked about this on the podcast, like when they have, you know, these massacres that have happened towards First Nations people, to the Mexican Americans by the Texas Rangers, that like there is a history, white American history is riddled with massacring other people. And again, be lucky that all people are asking for is equality and not revenge.
Right, right. They have done stuff against everybody that it's not white. You know, we had the Chinese Exclusion Act or whatever. The internment camps for the Japanese.
Right.
When they went to the Philippines and there's some crazy shit. Don't play with me, America. Okay. There was this walk, like this snow walk. I forgot what it was called. I'm going to find the name.
Oh, you're talking about the Trail of Tears?
So all we want is a little bit of equality.
Leave us alone. Leave us. Stop murdering us. At this time, black folks had fled to the swamp. They hid in the cemetery, which you might know. Did that make
I knew you guys. You guys have some shit. You love talking about how they
Glory lives near a cemetery.
I do.
So, but it's good. It's inspiring. It reminds you every day to live your life to the fullest.
It really does.
This could be it. Okay. So they head to the swamp, to the edge of town. They were just trying to get out of the way. And of course you're thinking like, okay, this is a coup happening. Like these were people who were already elected. They're being thrown. Like surely the government would step in. Nope. No federal sanctions or condemnations from the state to the state happen at all. So Waddell formalized control of Wilmington, and the city council and the mayor were forced to resign. And isn't that, it's bananas to me. That is literally, but it also is like, I could see something like that happening today. So North Carolina then passed the Grandfather Clause as one of a series of laws designed to limit the voting rights of African Americans. So this was one of the first law, like Jim Crow laws that was coming on that was, again, black men have the right to vote. But then in 1899, it was this flurry of these laws that were restricting voting laws, poll taxes, which we're seeing that are happening down in Florida.
Right.
You know, again, there was a literacy test. It's like they're playing their greatest hits, like everything that we're experiencing.
You said the greatest
today,
hits. I'm done.
The greatest hits of white supremacy. They are. It's the same old tricks. It's the same old tricks. No. And I mean, this reminds me of the massacres we talked about, Tulsa, Rosewood, but this was the only one that was a coup that took place on American soil and it was successful. And you might be thinking like, well, why didn't I know about this? Well, white people write the history books, and history was writing it in the history books that like these good white people were heroes in some people's history books. And it was saying that it was describing the black victims as instigators, that there was no evidence of what happened to that none of the buildings remained. So it was also described as an insurrection or a riot.
Right. And I think that there's a library that like you have to, if you ask for the thing, like they don't want to give you the information on what happened. Like, there's a library and that they keep all that information and they just, it's like all secretive and shit.
Yep. And Alfred Woodall, who was a former member of Congress who led the massacre, he wrote the Democrats. Remember, these are the bad, like not Democrats of today. These are like white supremacists. Wrote the Democrats in most white
citizens. Is there still a difference? No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Well, the Republicans are now the white supremacists, is what I would say. Yeah.
Like the out loud ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Democrats and most white citizens, listen, if you're voting for Trump, you support white supremacy, and I don't have anything
absolutely
else to say on that matter. That's it. So we're cut and dry. So the Democrats and most white citizens of the state feared a return to the corrupt and financially devastating rule of Republicans, as had been experienced during Reconstruction in the late 1860s. He essentially just uses a lot of language that describes the Republicans as radical
and these liberal Republicans, which is funny to hear those two words put together, but that's how it was back then.
And that they're it just reminds me of like how we're described, Democrats today, as so radical. You know, it's again the same language is continuously being used, the same tactics. And they wrote the history in a North Carolina textbook, 12 Greatest North Carolinians Ever. It included the Wright brothers, Virginia Dare, and then it included three people who were leaders of the white supremacy campaign to do this coup. Them's not, and like that's, they shouldn't be in the history book. What they did was illegal. And they were described as, up until the 1950s, as an unfortunate but necessary event. And it was a place of pride for the white folks of that town.
Necessary for what?
For what? It's again, like Tom Cotton recently said, Republican evil person, said that...
Tom Cotton!
Yes. He said that slavery was a necessary evil. So it's like the same... Again, I've heard this song before. I've heard this track. And black folks did not instigate this. You know, they were that's not what happened. And these folks, when they came up, the mob, they were armed with pistols and rifles. They had essentially given the editor in chief that you were talking about, they'd given an ultimatum to destroy his newspaper and leave town, or that they're going to wreck it for you. And they burnt down all the black newspapers, not only there, but all over the state. So black people were losing their way to just live their lives. And, you know, talk about the Beyonce of their day, or to get out the vote, you know?
Right.
They even shut down entry to the city from Black folks and other just Republicans in the state. They were shutting it down. This was very deliberate. It was planned. And, you know, just it's just blatant how white supremacy had gone out of fashion at that time. So white racists had to get more clever about the way that they would talk about it. You know, they were came from a point of like talking about taxes and that the massacre would and the and then the guy who one of the participants, Charles B. A. Cock.
Oh, it's a lot of cock in this episode.
About dicks. All right, Charles B. A. Cock. He would go on to become governor 3 years later on a platform of white supremacy after burning down this town. Yeah.
And that legacy still is still there. Yes, I feel like that legacy of,
he had a building named after him. I'm not sure if it's still there, but yeah.
It probably is. If we know the South, that shit's still there.
Yeah, totally. And so again, like it's
not for long
when we exactly. But that's the thing, how insidious white supremacy is. I'm listening to this podcast. It's a 8-part series about it's called Slow Burn. It's about David Duke. And it's really fascinating because you realize the similarities of between Trump, I said his name, Agent Orange, and David Duke. They're very...
You can crop that out.
Yeah. I don't want to give him any power. He's Voldemort. I'll say Voldemort, but I won't say Agent Orange. But again, like it's important when we look back at history, we can see the similarities and how, you know, white supremacy, again, when I say it's everywhere, it's because it's gone deeper. It's gone underground. They won't talk about like, oh, we hate black people, but they'll say like, oh, well, we're just going to we're going to cut taxes because we just don't we don't want to spend. We don't want to be a welfare state. Right. They go deeper underground and try to talk about it in just very sinister ways. And again, white supremacy, it's a pandemic that has affected this whole world for centuries, and we have to do the work to dig it out.
That's the real virus.
That is exactly it. And this came to light because historians had gone through old newspapers and archives from the towns all around North Carolina, and they started uncovering this information because it was it was a secret, like you were saying, you know.
Yeah.
They had burned down all the newspapers at the time, and around the centennial in 1998, black folks in Wilmington community were like, y'all need to recognize what really happened. And so in 2007, back when he was a first-term state general assembly representative, Senator Tom Tillis blocked a state resolution that would formally apologize for the massacre, and he had supported the nonpartisan resolution with a caveat that it would include an amendment from him that would have acknowledged the historical fact that the white Republican government joined with black citizens to oppose the rioters, and the amendment failed and the resolution died. But listen, we just have to continue dismantling these systems, these racist-ass systems, and that It reminded me of things that I'm seeing today. These folks wearing red shirts to just sort of, trying to take over the city. It reminded me of like the images of when you see these anti-maskers, which is a dumb name that you have. Like, that's dumb. I'm not pro mask. I'm just not an idiot. Like, I'm not an idiot. I'm pro not dying. I'm pro not killing other people. So, but when they were outside of, you know, the governor of Michigan, like, with machine guns telling her to come outside, right? Like, it just reminds me of that. So we need to take hold of our history. It is riddled with blood of Americans who were, you know, just black and brown folks just trying to live their life. And white folks were like, I'm gonna murder you and take your land and enslave you. And that shit needs to be recognized.
Period. I feel like it was good timing.
Wait, there was one quote from a woman who had lived in that town. And she said, some of the elderly African-Americans told my stepfather that the Cape Fear River was running red with blood between the Civil War and civil rights. So,
oh my God, isn't that is that's a quote.
Yep.
That is a quote.
Yep. So,
well, another day to be upset with white people. that's well, a new slogan.
Must be a day that ends in Y.
I feel like we need to put that as a new slogan for my, no, I'm kidding. But it's, I don't think it's, I think people take it like, it's just about, if you know your history, you can prevent things from happening in the future. Totally. And I feel like when people see these kind of like inferences and the similarities, it's like, do you see the history repeating itself? Like you were just saying, it's like, this is not okay. It's a it's a human rights violation. So I'm tired of these hoes.
And taking just, you know, ownership of it, that we're not making up, like, again, we, when you understand why Black people have been struggling for centuries, when we understand what has happened to them, and that when you see someone like Beyonce, it's in spite of a system. So I'm okay with seeing her being in a mansion because, okay, girl, wow, you were able to, that's a miracle that that was able to happen, right? It is a miracle.
That drone shot in the river, in the ocean. That's what I think about.
Right, yeah. So, like, you know, snaps be to all that. And so, again, it's not enough just to be like, oh, I'm not racist, but you have to be anti-racist and be actively working to dismantle systems of white supremacy. That's the drill. That's what we're doing here.
Right, boom. And that not only happens in public, but also in those private conversations you have with your friends.
Get it,
like,
girl.
Like we was talking about.
Get it, girl.
Boom. So, it's a full circle conversation.
Look at you coming back. Okay, that's so cool.
There we are. It's the end of the show. Ba-dum-bum-bum. All right. So me and Glory got to talking and gib cabbing away so much that for Tuesday, instead of an MK Rewind, it's going to be an MK Review, where we are going to break down Beyonce's Black is King on Disney Plus. So if you haven't seen it yet, you've got time to watch it so that way you can fully enjoy our recap, our review that's going down on Tuesday. Get someone's password if you need to. It is an experience, and looking forward to breaking it down. It'll be dope. And as for the fact check, I mean, I guess with Glory around, we had the facts, we had the receipts. We're going to check the receipts, and looks like everything was good. I will say, I was thinking, who was president when this coup happened? I was like, who allowed this to happen? I'll tell you who. It was William McKinley. He was president from 1987 until 1901 when he was assassinated. Did y'all? I forgot it was him. He was the other president that was assassinated. He was also a Republican, a good Republican, and he let this shit go down. Just let these white supremacists take over this town. Shame, William McKinley, shame. But you didn't deserve to get assassinated. William McKinley is the name of the high school in Glee, and William McKinley is also from Ohio. He also was serving during a depression. Man, that'd be the worst, to be in a depression in that time period. Yikes. And I just want to say, as we are, you know, the tail end of the Maximum Fun Drive here, just how grateful I am to everyone. It's been a really amazing drive. We had no idea when we were starting this out how it was going to turn out, because there's so much stuff that's going on, and y'all have been just so supported. And I know everyone, all the shows here at Maximum Fun have just felt so incredibly supported. And the fire to continue doing what it is that we do, that it is important, that you do value what it is that we do. And it's right back at you. We value you so much. So to everyone who listens, we want to thank you so much for being a part of the show's community. And maybe you weren't able to participate in the way that you would have liked to, but I hope that you'll share out on social media, tell somebody to listen to this show because you love it and you get so much out of it. And if you've taken the extra step to join us as a Maximum Fun member, thank you. Thank you for making this show possible. You help to keep the lights on. You help to keep the wheels turning, to help us upgrade ourselves. I'm excited for what's to come. And please know we are just so over the moon. Words cannot express just how truly grateful we are for your support. I don't have words except thank you. And I love you. And if you haven't had a chance to become a member yet, you can do so by going to MaximumFun.org/join. That's it. Catch you on Tuesday for the Minority Corner review of Black is King. You got homework. See you on Tuesday. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Love ya.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. audience supported.